All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. Want to thank God for all of you who are able to make it out this evening for the midweek Bible study. It sure is a blessing to see all of you that are here this evening. Amen. With that said, we're just going to go over some quick announcements, and then we are going to go ahead and get started with this evening's Bible study. And so with that said, if you don't mind, you can just go ahead and look up to the screen, and we are going to go ahead and get right into our announcements for this evening. Amen. Allow me just one quick second as I try to get these notes here in a way that I can actually see them. So here we go. Just zoom in on the screen here. And there we have it. All right. Okay, friends. So I just want to thank God for those of you who are able to attend with us for the Memorial Day picnic. That was our first church picnic at the beach we've had since our founding. Praise the Lord. Had a lot of fun. I got a little darker. Amen. But I'm always dark, so it might not be a different. But my wife, she got a little toasty. And I'm glad that everybody had fun. It sure was a blessing. Very unique. Again, I think it's fun whenever it's the first time. Everyone is experiencing things differently, seeing things differently, but that's the fun and beauty of being a family. And so I'm just thankful that for the humility and the charity that we all demonstrated towards each other. And it was just a blessing to spend time with each other, have fun, especially swimming out there, if you will, in the waves and eating together and just having a good time. Amen. So let's go ahead and keep that momentum going. Let's continue to have love for one another and charity. And hopefully the Lord will bless us so we can have more folks join us for next year in the future. And that sure to be a blessing. So hope you guys had fun, and I hope you guys enjoyed the food and the fellowship. And I'm looking forward to that next year. Quick announcement tomorrow. Don't forget, guys, is our every other Thursday soul winning at the Sunset Market. If you would like to join us, please do so. We're going to meet here at the church at 5 o'clock for prayer. Going to get our gospel tracts and get our scripture signs. We'll be down there about 5:30. And we're usually down there for about an hour, hour and a half. So we're usually done around 6:45. So if you have time, please join us. If you would like to evangelize with your church corporately, that should be a blessing. Friday night discipleship class will be here. This Thursday, back out there, soul winning for the Saturday outreach evangelism. We're going to continue with that momentum where we're going to tag apartment doors, and then we are going to continue with our outreach at the pier thereafter. So we're going to try for the first time, we're going to go for the Canyon Club Apartments just right here down the street, and we're just going to go straight up tagging all day. If we can try our best to not get popped, if you will, by the office staff team. But again, it's always unique at knocking on doors at the apartments. But I think we had a good momentum from the two Saturdays ago when Brother Giovanni was helping us out with everyone, Gibby and also Logan. That was a blessing when they came because they were on fire handing out those tracks at the apartment complexes. So we're going to continue to do that. We're just going to start tagging apartments, and then we're going to go to the public outreach. So if you're able to join us, hopefully you are for either one of those. Sure be a blessing to see you for this Saturday. And let's continue to keep that in prayer. I'll let you know ahead of time if there's going to be any ministry opportunities with other church fellowships, etc. Don't forget church study blogs online. These are here to help you. Don't forget, subscribe to our Facebook church page, YouTube church page, and Podbean if you want to listen to the sermons and an MP3 so you can work, if you will, with your hands and just have it in the MP3 format in the background. If you need prayer, please don't be shy to submit a prayer request. I'm in the process of ordering more prayer cards. I'll show you guys after church. Thankfully, we got the coupon back from a kind customer service on Vistaprint. So if you would like to order shirts or hats, I'll let you know the price tonight after church, and I can make it for whatever design you want. I'll let you know the price before you leave, and also the cool new prayer cards I'm working on. But again, prayer requests, please call us. If you will, sisters, call Sister Katie. Brothers, call me. And if you just need prayer any time of the day, I'm available. I got Bluetooth, so call me, please. I want to be here for you, and we'll be praying with you. And then last but not least, church, if you're a member of this church, hope you are, please remain faithful in whatever you purpose on your heart to give as unto the Lord of your finances. Just remember the promise that God is going to deal with you according to your bountifulness, if you will. So you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. You sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. But here's the thing. He's looking for a cheerful heart when you give. And notice what he says there in 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency and all things, may abound to every good work. And so you might not be richest, but you also might not be the poorest. You might just have sufficient for what your need is. But why? Because you've been faithful to the Lord with your financial giving to your local church, and God is going to make sure that you have the sufficiency for your need. And that way, when an opportunity comes for work, you'll be able to work those hours. You'll be able to get that mammon that you need. You might get a side hustle, if you will, because the Lord is meeting your need as you are giving to his cause. Church, I can't begin to tell you how much the Lord has blessed my wife and I because of our consistency and being a blessing to the body of Christ, not only taking care of the needs of our local church here, but also with our private, if you will, between us and the Lord, helping out missionaries or being a blessing to other churches that you guys don't even know, from here to Tennessee, if you will. The Lord has taken care of Katie and I, guys. We don't have a lack because we've been faithfully consistent and just being a blessing to the body. So guys, continue to do that. If this is your home church, let's continue to invest and continue to build our ministry together. Amen. Sure to appreciate that. And so with that said, hope you guys are having a blessed week, if you will, so far in the work, et cetera, et cetera. All right, church, let's continue in our series. Tonight is going to be part 3 of Eyes to See and Ears to Hear. I got my brand new Bible, amen. You can essentially weigh yourself with this thing right here, like how big it is. This is the Defiant King James Bible. They were out of print for a couple years. They finally just got back. They're going through a more renowned publisher and like really good quality leather printing paper. This thing was about $100, but I love it. I've given these Bibles out to Eileen, to Diego, to all of my friends at this church. I've given you the Defined King James Bible because it helps define words for you. I recommend this for you for learning how to read your Bible, if you will. And so now this is my big pulpit Bible, amen. It's going to be here with me, helping me teach the Bible for Wednesday nights. So with that said, do me a favor. Let's go ahead and turn now in our Bibles to the book let's go ahead and pick up where we left off from last week. Where do we want to pick up in our notes? I think let's go ahead and go together now, my friend, to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I love that new Bible page smell. Amen. That's a good smell. Amen. All right. Hebrews, the 4th chapter. So like I said, church, we're going to continue in where we left off in our midweek Bible study series. We are calling this Eyes to See and Ears to Hear, part number 3. For those of you who have been tuning in with us, either online or in-house, we've just been talking about the 3 basic principles that are important for your Bible study learning, that is your spiritual growth and understanding doctrine, but most importantly, your spiritual growth and conforming to the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and in your conduct. And who can name for me those 3 principles that we've been talking about? What have we been meditating on? Anybody? There you got it. So reading it, hearing it, and doing it. And tonight, we're going to focus on the last part, which is fear, and we're going to probably do like 2 more Wednesdays, and then we'll go back to Acts 28 in our verse by verse, because there's so much Bible on fearing God and learning the fear of God that we need to give you all the counsel as we're going to learn tonight, so that way you guys can be filled with the knowledge that the Bible offers you on that topic, if you will, learning how to fear God. But as we continue now, let's go here quickly to Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15 and 16. The Word of God says here, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was on all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And so as we continue in our church service gatherings, whenever we do assemble together, and as you continue daily waking up between you and the Lord, if you will, I want you just to remind yourself that every single day, Jesus Christ invites you to himself to receive from him what he wants to offer you, which is help. And the Lord Jesus Christ has abundant grace. He has abundant mercy to help you, not only before you struggle with sin, during your struggle with sin, and then when you fall, he's still right there available and ready to help you. So aside from personal spiritual growth to help us with overcoming sin and sinful habits and lust and everything like that, tonight, as we're talking about our spiritual maturity and our understanding of the Bible, Bible doctrine, to help us to grow intellectually, mentally, spiritually, and then putting that into practice in whatever role you find yourself in tonight, whether you're a husband or a single individual. I want you to just to know that in the end of the day, you have to go to the Lord Jesus Christ yourself personally to find from him what you need, to receive from him what he wants to give you, and that's grace to help you in the time of need. So reading the Bible is amazing, and yes, that is a command, and we've obviously been studying that. Praying is awesome, and that's a command, and yes, we've been meditating on that. But you have to desire him. You have to want the Lord. You have to desire the Lord. You have to desire to fellowship with him and spend time with him personally. And so I just want you to know tonight, none of this is going to help if you individually, when you go home, without Brother Carlos and Katie in the church house fellowship context, if you're not desiring the Lord daily and you're not praying to him and you're not wanting to spend time with him, you're not going to grow. And all this Bible study is vain because there is no sincere desire for you to want him or to want what he has to offer you from him, which is the Word of God, understanding in the Word of God, maturity in the roles that the Lord has given you so far, like I said, whether you're still single or if you're married and so on and so forth, church member, pastor, leadership, everything else. So tonight, I just want to clearly remind you before we pray that he invites you daily to approach his heavenly throne room of grace to find help in the time of need. So my Christian friend, there is no fear in this relationship that we have with God the Father through his Son Jesus. There's absolute grace, love, joy, and peace. Whatever that you are struggling with tonight, whether desires in the heart or perhaps in your mind, your Savior commands you and I to continue to come unto him to learn from him how we need to receive forgiveness for them and to receive power over them so that we don't continue in those things anymore, so on and so forth. So now let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Abba, Father, I thank you so much for allowing the saints to come to church this evening. Once again, God, we need the help of the Holy Spirit of God as we open up the Holy Bible so we can understand the Word of God. And I just pray that you would help us to have a desire for the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. Father, if there are any heavy hearts tonight, if there are any heavy hearts because of things going on in the personal life, maybe in the workplace, maybe in the marriage, maybe within their own life, they find themselves constantly failing or struggling with sin tonight, I pray that after they just read with me Hebrews 4, 15, 16, they know, once again, that you reminded them that you can keep. They can keep coming to you. They don't have to be ashamed to not come to you. They don't have to run away, but God, you invite them. Knowing all that's going on, you still call out to them to come to you, to find from you help. So tonight, Lord, I need help from you. They need help from you to continue to understand your Holy Bible, to give us understanding and truths so that way we can put them into practice within our marriages, for those of us that are single to keep ourselves pure, for those of us that are church members to be faithful to our church, for those of us that are in leadership to be faithful to our church members, to love them and to encourage them, God, not to give up on them. So, Lord, we need you. And tonight, God, I just want to bow my heart to you, Lord, in the altar of my heart. God, please teach me how to learn the Word of God so I can fear you and my life can be a reflection of that to those around me. Lord, I thank you for those that came. Please have your way in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, now, so church, as we talked about last week, we are continuing in our part three of Eyes to See and Ears to Hear. For the brethren that just came in, some of your brethren, they already told me the three elements or three principles. So let's see if y'all remember, what are the three things that we've been meditating on these past couple of weeks? We got to read, hear, and do it. There you go. Awesome. Praise the Lord, man. Y'all are growing. Amen. All right. We can't forget, amen, that we should not shun to declare all the counsel of God, as Paul said there in Acts chapter 20, verse number 27. If you and I seek to be found faithful students and disciples and members of the body of Christ, we must not shun to declare all the counsel of God. What does that mean? The entire book, not just some of the book, not just some of the words, not just the good, if you will, words, but we also need all those words that we might perceive as bad or convicting, because that's the counsel of God that's going to continue to help us to learn how to fear God and to teach us how to do what God has commanded us to do. So let's continue now on that topic. Let me give you a quick side nugget, however, before we continue in this series of reading, hearing, and doing. Turn your Bible with me to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. And we're going to just quickly give you a side nugget. I got to remind you in love, amen, as your friend, as your pastor, as your brother in Christ, I got to remind you. Another thing that's important when you're handling the Word of God is this. You cannot have respect of persons. You say, what does that mean, Brother Carlos? You cannot treat someone differently than others. You can't treat someone better than others. It doesn't matter if they're family. It doesn't matter if they're friends. It doesn't matter if they're not blood. It doesn't matter the color of the melanin on their clay. It doesn't matter. The Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons. And that when you and I approach the counsel of God, which is the Bible, and we seek to exercise judgment and righteousness, God said that we should not do it with respect to person. So as we want to continue to learn, and as we read, and as we meditate, and as we hear, and then we want to do it, one of the heart motives that we need to protect ourselves in doing it that's going to hinder us if we do it is when we do respect persons, when we do treat someone a little bit better because you like their hairstyle, you like who they are, you might find more in camaraderie with the other person that you might not necessarily find that with, and then that alters your judgment. And then perhaps because they're your family, they're your friend, they're your uncle, or they're your brother, they're your sister, they're your tia, they're your children, you might not want to execute all of the counsel because you know that it's going to hurt their feelings. They're going to treat you differently if you hold them accountable. But guys, you know what Paul told the brethren in Ephesus in Acts 20, 27? He said, I did not shun to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He told the Christians the truth for 3 years with tears, the Bible says. He didn't care who they were or who they were, where they were from, if you will. He didn't treat any of them any different. He told them all the same thing for 3.5 years, warning them, teaching them, because he didn't have respect to persons. So tonight, what's going to help you in your spiritual growth is doing the same thing. Now look with me in Leviticus 19:15. We're going to read through these quickly. The Bible says in Leviticus 19, verse number 15, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. So again, what are we doing? We are reading the counsel of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So what are we looking for? We're reading the Old Testament for the principle of what? Judging our neighbor. So when we read the Word of God, you're going to find things that at times are wrong in someone's life. And yes, that might be your spouse, that might be your children, that might be your parents, that might be your friend, that might be your pastor, that might be whoever. And just remember, the Lord wants you to administer that judgment without respect to persons. So I know you care about someone you really care about, but if they gossip about another Christian, that's wrong. And you need to tell them that's wrong not to do that. You might see a Christian that begins to belittle another Christian behind their back, or they want to steal or do something that you and I both know clearly the Bible says don't do that, but you really care about them. You like them, and hence that judgment is what's going to hinder that in you. So friend, tonight I want you to see with me that the Lord does not want you to respect persons. All right, let's continue on this topic. Deuteronomy chapter 1. We're just going to go left to right. Deuteronomy chapter 1. The Bible says together, friend, in verse number 17, I'm turning right there with you, amen. And if I go a little quicker, it's because I have a bigger Bible, Brother Felipe. It's easier, amen. Look at this. Boom, look at all these big old pages, amen. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17. If you want one of these, give me $150. All right, Deuteronomy interest, Sister Eileen, interest. I'm just kidding. Look with me, Deuteronomy 1:17. The Bible says, ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. Look at what Moses told the nation of Israel. Don't, if you will, treat someone's issue any different than the people that are mighty or great or renowned. You know, perhaps someone that has wealth, someone that has a lot of, if you will, acknowledgement in society versus the poor guy or the poor girl that no one even knows about. You got to treat them all the same, because notice what he said. It's you're administering the word of God in judgment. It's God's judgment. So don't worry about the face of man. Don't worry if your spouse, if you will, yes, it's going to rub them the wrong way when you're just trying to keep them accountable to the Word of God, but you're doing it in love the same way that you would treat your friend, your brother, your pastor, your church member. You're doing it all on the same playing field, because all you're doing is taking the counsel of God, and you're caring for somebody to tell them the truth. And yes, sometimes the truth hurts. Book of Proverbs teaches us all the time about wounds and how they get into the belly. But what does it say in the book of Proverbs? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, the Bible says. So if we are friends, what we're doing is we're just trying to be faithful to each other. But friends will tell the truth. And I just find it unique, brother. Let me tell you something real quick. I just find it unique. I'm not going to name names because there's a lot of them. There have been brethren that have come to me and said, brother, I need you to, whenever something is going on, they say, Carlos, give it to me straight, tell me straight, you know, just tell me straight up, if you will. And then when I do, they get offended. They get a little all agitated, if you will. But they've invited me to do that. And so finally, when I'm long-suffering and charitable with them, and I finally call them out in love and I ask them questions, they no longer talk to me a little bit. It's been a minute since I hear from them. But you know what, guys? I'm not respecting persons. I'm treating them the same way, just like I treat you, treat my wife. And again, guys, that's what's going to help us to continue to learn, if you will. Let me just read the rest of these because there's so many. Just bear with me. Deuteronomy 16, 19, the Bible says, thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. So just because they take you out to lunch all the time, just because they buy you dinner all the time, you better not treat them any different. And then the guy who doesn't take you out, then the girl who doesn't buy you food, and the person who doesn't buy you them clothing, no, you treat them the same. If they come short and you see it, call it in love and say, brother, I love you, but come on. You know what the Bible says? Let's not do that. Let's not do this. 2 Chronicles 19:7, the Bible says, wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Proverbs 24:23, these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. That's Proverbs 24:23. Proverbs 28:21, the Bible says, to have respect of persons is not good. For a piece of bread that man will transgress. Acts 10:34, you know what Peter said? Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Paul said in Romans 2:11, for there is no respect of persons with God. So far from the Old Testament, Moses, prophets, 2 Chronicles, New Testament apostles, Paul and Peter, you know what they all say? God is not a respecter of persons. It is not good to treat others differently because they give you some money, you spend time with them a little bit more, they're my family member, they're blood, they're not blood. Bible says it's not good to treat them any differently. God's not going to do that, so neither should we. You know what James says? Paul says later in Ephesians 6:9, neither is there respect of persons with him. Paul says later in Colossians 3:25, there is no respect of persons. James says, and I'll read this one for you, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Peter, 1 Peter 1:17, if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. James chapter 2, verse 9. Let's go there together because this one is really good. I need you to read with me. Let's go together. James chapter 2, verse number 9. What if we do that, brother and sister? What if you and I do come short and our wife talks us into it, our husband talks us into it, a church member talks us into it, some other person that you've never met online, but you like the way they teach the Bible, and yet they convince you to have a certain attitude towards another Christian. Is that okay? Is it a sin if I do that? Well, why don't we just read the Bible? Because we call ourselves Bible believers, don't we? James chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, but if you have respect to persons, what does it say? Chapter 2, verse 9, what does it say? Ye commit sin. Boom. There it is right there. Oh, man, it can't get any clearer. The Bible says, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So if I treat Brother Felipe better than I treat Brother Giovanni, because Brother Felipe has been buying me dinner, he's been buying me clothes, he's been sowing a seed into my pocket because he wants more Bible doctrine, and then all of a sudden I don't treat Brother Giovanni the same because he hasn't been giving me money, he hasn't been taking me out. He didn't invite me to the ice cream the other night. You know what the Bible says? I'm going to sin against the Lord God because I am having respect to persons in what? Judgment. So what's going to help you to not sin in this area? Don't respect persons in judgment. Treat them all the same before the Word of God, because at the cross, we're all there at the same level at the cross. So we're all sinners for whom Christ died. There's no one higher or lower before the eyes of the Father. The highest is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to Jesus to receive forgiveness. The Father accepts us because he accepted his Son, not you, his Son. You came to his Son, he adopted you, okay? So the only goodness that is in you is still Christ in you, not you. So now if you can remind yourself, you're not as important as the Son of God. Your feelings are not as important as the Son of God. Your attitude and your desires, they're not as important to God the Father as God the Son is. It'll begin to reshape your humility to remind yourself, man, I'm no better than that brother. So who am I to want to treat a brother differently or a sister differently? Because they have a tie or they don't have a tie. Because they have this Bible or don't have the Bible. Because they give money or they don't give money. If they trust Christ, We are eternally sealed, and we're all going to go to heaven and live together forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. So while we're here on this earth, what are we battling with? Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We're battling the old man when the old man wants to rub us the wrong way and kind of whisper in our ear, yeah, but don't you remember she did this? Well, don't you remember he did that? Well, don't you know they didn't do this for you that one day? So it's okay if you don't call them back. It's okay if you don't really go all the way. It's okay if you don't commit. No, that's not cool. The Lord said there you sin if you have respect to persons in judgment. Let me give you one more on this. How can I avoid respecting persons in judgment with the Word of God? Let's go to 1 Peter 1. Just go a couple of pages of the writer in the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 22. This is how you can avoid favoritism, is another word for it, if you will. The Bible says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. So you have to work on that, brother and sister. You got to work on that. It ain't going to come natural. The old man doesn't care about everyone around you. You know that. You live with you. You know what I'm talking about deep down inside the heart of your counsels where no one else knows. You know how much you want to backbite against me. I know how much I want to backbite against you. I know faults that I can identify that gives me reason to want to complain about you of certain things. And before you know it, I don't want to treat you the same. You know what the Lord said there? You need to see that you keep loving anyways. You need to see that you keep having a pure heart to that brother and that sister anyways. You need to see that you do that. Christ already gave you the power. He gave you the Spirit of God. So now I have no excuse of why I cannot treat someone the same as someone else in the Lord. Why? I have the Spirit of God in me. So what do I have to do? I have to see to myself, I can't do it for anybody else but me. I have to push myself to love you the same way every day, even if you don't treat me the same way in return. And that's where it comes the most difficult. Trust me, I've been dealing with that. So in the end of the day, friend, that's what's going to help you. And the attitude when you're reading the Bible, if you want to learn, if you want the Lord to bless you with understanding and that, if you will, private one-on-one growth, he's looking at your heart attitude, how you treat people. So you can't expect God to bless you with that knowledge, that wisdom, that maturity, if you're treating people with favoritism. And now you see it. Amen. All right. Let's talk about this now, the fear of the Lord. Do me a favor. Let's go now to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Back there. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. And now we're back on our Bible train. We're now going to start the last part of our series, which is the fear of the Lord. So far, I gave you a lot of Bible on hearing the word being taught, hearing the word being preached. We literally just finished a lot of Bible on reading the Bible and why that's important, why that's commanded for us to read so we can learn the fear of God. We're going to couple this together. We're going to read so we can learn how to fear God. And then the last part is doing the Word of God. We briefly have been going in and out in different parts of this is why we need to do this because the Bible taught us, and now if we fear God, we'll hence do the thing that He commanded us to do. Now let's talk about having the fear of God, if you will, maturing in that. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 10. The Bible says, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Oreb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. So I want you to see here, friend. The Lord commanded his people Israel back in those days, you know, a lot of thou shalts and, you know, thou shalt nots. And he would always end it with this, because I'm God. Don't steal. Why? Because I'm God. Don't oppress the stranger, because you were a stranger. Why? Because I'm God. So look at what he's telling them. Moses, and when all the leaders, you know, get the congregation together, you bring the parents together, you bring the children together. I am going to speak to them from the top of this hill. I want them to hear my voice. I want them to hear my words so they can learn to fear me because I'm God. Listen, friend, I'm going to tell you right now, you want to make your life with the Lord a lot easier? Know that He's God and you're not. If you can learn how to fear Him because He is the Almighty, powerful God, you are going to be happier to submit to your husband, sister. You're going to be happier to be pure in your singlehood, sister. You're going to be happier to love your wife as Christ loves the church, brother. Why? Because you're doing it out of the fear of God. You recognize between you and Him, He is the Almighty God, and I'm just this speck of dust. I'm just this little dirt clay down here, made in Mexico, Hecho Mexico right here. That's on the back of my back tag there. But I'm just telling you what's going to help you to remind yourself of why do I need to do this? Because He's God. Let me give you three verses. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read them for you. Leviticus 19:14, Leviticus 19:32, Leviticus 25:17, he says, fear thy God, fear thy God, fear thy God. So it's the same principle throughout the whole Bible, even the New Testament, that we should understand that when we are given commands of God, why we as husbands are commanded to love our wives, wives submit to your husbands, children obey their parents. For those of you who are Christian employees, to work wholeheartedly unto the Lord, whatever the boss tells you to do. If you're a Christian employer and you have employees under you, to treat them good. If you're a member of a local church, to submit to your pastor and the leadership, pastor to feed the flock, the word of God, and to be an example. Why do we do all this? Because he's God. We must fear his great power and authority as the Almighty God, the Creator, the Judge of all the earth, and even more so now as our Savior for those of us who've been saved. So notice, he wants you to hear the word. He wants you to read the word so you can learn how to fear him all the days of your life. Do you see there in Deuteronomy 4:10? Okay, let's keep going. Left to the right. Left to the right. Deuteronomy 6. Left to the right. Deuteronomy 6, a couple of pages to the right. Verse number 1. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou, thy son, thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Now, I know we're talking about Israel living in the land, all that. We know how that. We know that. But what I want you to see there, he wants his people to learn the word of God. And then when they learn the word of God, to be able to teach their children the word of God, because one day they're going to die. Their children are going to continue to represent this God to the world, and then they're going to die, and so on and so forth. So that way, it will go well with them all the days of their life. And if they live in obedience to his commands while they're living on this earth, perhaps their days will be prolonged. What does that mean? Extended, because they're not living in sin. They're living in obedience. They're living in righteousness. So could it be, brother and sister, when you decided to stop smoking, stop doing drugs, stop fornicating, getting married, stop, you know, doing certain sins you know you shouldn't have done. Could it be, since you chose not to do that anymore, to continue in the path of destruction, that you came over here to the way of life, you're going to live it a little bit longer? I believe so. I believe because you are no longer sinning in a certain thing, you're literally going to extend your life just a little bit more. Why? Because you're no longer allowing yourself to be in a circumstance or in a situation where you could possibly die. All right, Deuteronomy 6, verse number 13. Same chapter, just look with me now. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name. Same chapter, verse 24. The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Could it be? Could it be now? The reason why God wants us to fear him, to learn the Bible, to learn the commands and how we need to obey him, could it be that that's for our good? Could it be that every thought and imagination that is aroused in our heart, if it's guided by the fear of God, could it be that what comes out of that is for good? Or could it be that the more evil that I yield to, you know, I don't take control of the thought, I give into my sin, I give into my flesh, and because I lack the fear of God, could it be that my future will be hindered in fellowship with him and his people, and hence it's not going to be for my good? It could be. So I want you to see there, friend, the Lord wants you to fear him, but notice, for your good. It's for your benefit to learn how to fear him, to learn how to live your life now in the fear of the Lord. That's very good. So now start thinking about it like that with me, in that mindset. The reason why I need to love my wife, the reason I need to be submitted to my husband if you're a wife tonight, the reason I need to keep myself pure before I get married and so on and so forth, it's for your good. God put these laws in the Word of God to protect you from things that you don't even know yet that can potentially destroy the rest of your life or hinder you, or if you will, he's keeping you from danger. That's a very good way to look at it now. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 6. Like I said, church, we're just going to go from left to right, and I'll comment on some of these. Some of these are pretty straightforward, right? What are we talking about now? The fear of the Lord. Deuteronomy 8, 6. The Bible says, therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Deuteronomy 10:12. Bible says, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. I want you to see now, the fear of God is motivated by what? Love for God. when Christians don't live in the fear of God, it's because they hate God. And I already taught you that two Wednesdays ago. What does it mean to hate God? It means to love him less. What does it mean to love God? It means to love him more than your wife, your husband, your children, your parents. It means you love him more than yourself. So I just want you to see now, I wouldn't have no problem fearing the command when I learn what he wants me to do with my body, my money, because I love him. He's worthy of that. I have no problem submitting to his authority and his power because I love God. But the minute that I hate God because I love me more, I love my spouse more, my government more, my job more, God, I don't really think that's important. In other words, you hate him in that moment because, again, you are esteeming him less and the other more. So I just wanted to see now the fear of God, it's coupled with love for God. When we fear God, I'm going to show you in a later verse, we'll get there, it's a reverential fear. It means that you recognize that he is almighty and all-powerful. You recognize who he is, and that's what's going to motivate you. Deuteronomy 10:20, same chapter, verse 20. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. I like that word cleave. It's another way to just say cling. You know, like Genesis about a man leaving his father, mother, and he should cleave to his wife, you know, like become one. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to cleave to him. He wants you to just bond with him. He wants you to fellowship with him. He wants you to love him more than yourself and everything else because he's going to protect you from the evil this world tries to get you in and the devil's temptation. And when you lack fear of God and you give in to sin in the flesh, you're only hurting yourself. Remember earlier, for our good. That's pretty good, amen. Deuteronomy 13. Just make it easy for you, left to right. Deuteronomy 13, verse 4. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, keep his commandments, obey his voice. You shall serve him and cleave unto him. Two times now. Look at that. Cleave. Cling to him, guys. Cling to him. All right. Next chapter. Chapter 14, verse 23. Thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. All right, chapter 28, verse 58, Deuteronomy 28, verse 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Look at that. Chapter 31, verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 12. The Bible says there, gather the people together, men and women, children and thy stranger, that is within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. If I can summarize this series, it's right there, that verse. That's a very good verse. You guys can preach and teach on that later on. Everybody, I want you to come to church. I want you to keep coming. I want you to keep learning so you could learn how to fear me. All right, now, Joshua chapter 4. This is now going to give you a little bit more insight as it pertains to having the fear of God in a reverential sense. This is what it means to fear the Lord, if that makes sense. Joshua chapter 4, verse number 24, as it pertains to responding to his almighty power, if you will, as God. Joshua 4, verse 24, the Bible says that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. Do you see there? And that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. So when the God of Israel is compared to the gods of Egypt, the gods of the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, you know, and all the heathen, in comparison to what he's done to Pharaoh and all the power that he's done, right? Man, he is the almighty God. He is the mighty God. He judged the earth, right, with the flood. He took out Pharaoh back there. Man, he is almighty God. Look at my God over here, this little statue, this little picture over here, if you will. Man, I need to fear that God. And that's exactly what Rahab the harlot did. And you can read about her in the book of Joshua. She heard about God and she responded in a fear because she recognized his power demonstrated through his judgment over the people, over the nations. So this is what it means to have the fear of God. You and I are mere specks of dust. And when we realize our relationship between us and our maker, he is mighty, we are not. He has all the power, we don't. He has all the power indeed, and in judgment, we cannot have enough power to make ourselves taller, right? Jesus said, we can't even add more a day more to our life, if you will. When we humbly live our lives mentally in the fear of God, it will keep us in check to remember that He is watching us 24/7. Not just our outward actions, but our inward motives. And one day, friend, one day, the Bible says that you and I will give an account for them. So now, think about it like that. There might not be a video camera everywhere, obviously. There might not be someone always recording you, obviously. And yep, your spouse has to trust you when you are obviously no longer in her or his physical presence. You don't have to necessarily think about it, well, no one's watching me. God is watching you. Bible says He's recording everything you're doing right now. So if you continue to meditate upon that, that's what's going to help you in the fear of God. It's going to increase the fear of God within you because that's what's going to guide you. Man, I better think twice before I do that. Why? Because God's watching. The Lord is hearing me. He can hear my heart thoughts. Your spouse can't hear your heart thoughts, but He can. When you lust and you have a desire in your mind and you're kind of like, you know, thinking about it on the inside, no one else knows, you sin against the Lord, He knows. So what's going to help you? The fear of God. Let me check myself now before I do that. Same book, Joshua. Turn with me now to Joshua 24. Joshua 24, 14. Joshua 24, verse number 14. The Bible says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in what? Sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Let me tell you, friend, that one of the ways that our lives will reflect the fear of the Lord by others observing us is how they see when we put away certain sins, put away certain habits, when we put away certain actions that we used to do and commit, which we no longer do. When the world notices that you no longer curse, you know, you lose using vulgar language, you no longer drink, you no longer smoke, you no longer fornicate, you no longer commit adultery, you no longer lie, you no longer steal, you no longer cheat, you no longer be lazy, you get a job, you start working hard. All these actions exhibit before others the fear of God. And that's what our life testimony will be when others observe us. They're going to see how we revere our Almighty God. So notice what Joshua told the people, fear God and put away those gods. Do something now to prove that you truly do fear the Lord. That's what I want you to think about now. What am I doing in my life that shows somebody, man, I fear God. I'm living differently. All right, let's go now to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. What are we talking about? The fear of the Lord. And we're going through all the counsel of God because I want to feed you, church. I want to feed you Bible. I'm not here to feed you politics. I'm not here to feed you frequencies and vibes and all the sillies that the world wants to talk about nowadays. I could care less about the governments of this world. I want to teach you about the endless government. I want to teach you about the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the one who's going to come back and rule and reign and whose kingdom you will serve. Amen. He is more powerful than anyone or anything that's going on around you on this earth right now. I want you to continue to meditate upon truth. Amen. That's what's going to keep you in your mind in peace. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 12. Verse number 14, Bible says here in, oh, I'm sorry, I'm in 1 Kings. 1 Samuel is what I said. Let me get there now, church. 1 Samuel chapter 12. We're going to start together in verse number 14. All right, here we have it. If you will fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. At this time, remember that the nation of Israel, they wanted to be like the world, and they wanted a king. They did not have a king. They did not want God to be their king, so they said, we want a man to rule over us like all the other nations around us. Can you tell the Lord, Samuel, that we want someone? So the Lord, if you will, allowed the people's request to come about, and they got a king. Now, he was a sinner. He was not perfect. In the beginning of his life, he was pretty solid, Saul, but then by the end, obviously we know the story, how he hated King David. He ended up dying, I believe, because of his rebellion. And nevertheless, let me read you something he says later on in verse 20, same chapter. Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Can I give you a quick encouragement? Some of you, when you got saved, you still sinned and made mistakes. Some of you, when you got sin, you didn't get your life all together and your act together. You didn't put away the gods from Egypt. You didn't put away the smoking, the habits, the sins, the things that you used to do, you struggle with, you still did it. But can I encourage you? Did you read that with me in verse 20? Fear not. You've done all this wickedness, the Lord said. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve him with all your heart. Yes, you sin. Get back up and keep following God. Yeah, you made a mistake. Get back up and keep following God. Don't stay there. I like that. That's a powerful verse right there for encouraging a carnal Christian. Yeah, you haven't come to church in a long time. You're here, so keep following him right now. You understand what I'm saying to you? That's a good verse to encourage a carnal brother or sister. Amen. Bible says, and turn ye not aside, for then ye should go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. You know what that sounds like to me? Sounds like Romans chapter 8, when the Spirit told Paul to tell Christians that if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. You see what's good when you start reading your Bible more and more daily, cyclically? What does that mean, Brother Carlos? Over and over again, you know, like a revolution, just back to back. You're going to start picking up Bible, and you read a truth over there, a principle over here, wisdom, and you begin to just pull them together. And I'm like, whoa, that verse, it's not the exact word, but it's the same meaning. It's the same message. So what is he telling his Israelites? What is the prophet Samuel telling them? You guys sinned big time. You wanted a king. Man, y'all messed up. But you know what? Y'all better keep following the Lord. The Lord knows you messed up. You wanted this thing. Okay, it is what it is. You need to keep following him. If you stop following him, here's what's going to happen. You're eventually going to die. Bottom line. That sin, that rebellion is going to take you on a path that you do not want to go to. But the Lord, he can still bless you. He can redirect your life. If you come back by the fear of the Lord, redirecting your heart attitude, man, I need to do it God's way. All right, Prophet Samuel, I'm sorry. Tell the Lord, my bad, we wanted a king. Whatever he says from this moment on, we'll start doing, and that's how the Lord will keep him good. Can I tell you something, though, friend? Do you know what's going to help you to want to continue living in the fear of God? Look carefully in verse number 24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Why? For consider how great things he hath done for you. Remember what he has forgiven you of thus far in your life. Remember what he has delivered you from concerning your past. Remember how he has given you another chance at work to do better rather than getting fired. Remember how he has helped restore your marriage. Remember how he hears your prayers when your family, friends, and even your church won't answer the phone. Remember to remind yourself about the great things he has done for you. That's what's going to help you to walk in the fear of the Lord. Why? Because you're meditating on his goodness. Again, that's a great verse, 20. Man, I sinned. But don't fear. You keep following me. Once again, remember when you come back to the Lord in your heart, I'm sorry, God. You come back, but you want to get, you know, getting restored with discipleship. From that moment, you keep following him. Yeah, you might fall again, but you get right back up and you keep following him and you keep following him and you keep following him. Why? Because you're remembering how merciful he was to you right over here when you should have completely destroyed your life over here. He was still merciful, wasn't he? So one thing that helps me is I just remember, man, he's been good to me. How can I not? He's been so good. So don't forget how good he's been to you. All right, a couple of more chapters and then we'll come to a close. 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings 17, it's good to see you have a Bible in your hand, amen. Amen, praise the Lord. 2 Kings 17, read with me starting in verse number 1. This is good. We're almost done for tonight. We're going to have to break this up into two more parts, but that's okay. It's all the Bible. 2 Kings 17, but if Felipe buys me dinner, I'll give him the rest of the series tonight, amen. 2 Kings 17. The Bible says, starting here, my friend, in verse number 1, in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. So what's going on? A new king comes on the scene. He's a bad guy. But he's not like the other kings who were so bad, This is a different kind of a bad. He ended up becoming a servant to the invading king, Shalmaneser, the one that's trying to take out Israel. Verse number 4, the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore, the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. So what are you going to do? Hey, yo, Egypt, help me out, man. I'm going to give you some money. Help me to get out of this bondage. And then the king find out, man, take that dude and put him in prison. All right, now verse number 5. The king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Syria and placed them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. For so it was, now listen, verse 7, that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. What was their problem? They were not fearing the right God. They were fearing the other gods. Every time, you're going to see that in the Old Testament, for those of you who get all the way through your Bible, God is going to remind the reader all that he did in Exodus. I delivered them. I brought them up out of their bondage. I delivered them from the taskmasters. I delivered them from the house of iron, if you will. But they turned their back on me. They worshiped other gods, fornicated. They committed spiritual adultery with worshiping false gods. They rebelled against me. They built these altars they shouldn't have. Priests were not doing their job right. They caused my people to sin. Judgment, 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 judgment. It's because they feared other gods. They didn't fear him. Why did not fear him? Because they didn't love him. Why didn't they love him? It's just their heart. They had the Bible available to them the whole time. Remember the tabernacle? It's right there. But their heart was far from him. Verse number 8, here's a summary the Lord's given us, and walked in the statutes of the heathen. So let's learn how to dress like the unbelievers. Let's learn how to eat like the unbelievers. Let's learn how to put on clothes like them, put on the earrings like them, put on the makeup like them, the eyeshadow like them. Let's learn how to do our hair like them. Let's learn how to have tattoos like them. Let's learn how to learn their music. Let's watch their movies. Let's hear their... They wanted to be everything that God told them not to be. Verse number 8, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city. And so it wasn't a secret to God, was it? Because he wrote it down. And that's why I told you earlier, church, what's going to help you to keep walking in the fear of God is knowing that the Lord sees the secret counsels in your heart. Be careful. Verse number 10, they set them up images and groves in every high hill and every green tree, under every green tree. Verse 11, there they burn incense in all the high places, as did the heathen, whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. They served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. Look at 13, yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets, by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets, notwithstanding they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God. Do you see a summary now, friend? Man, Israel, I want to protect you. I gave you this law for your good. Remember that he said that in Deuteronomy? I gave you this law to protect your heart, your mind, your desires from the sin that these people are doing because they don't know me. You know me. I made myself known to you on the mountain. Your father saw me. They saw the miracles, and I told them to teach you, your children, your children. And look at what you have done to yourself. Look at the outcome. I've been sending you a prophet. I've been sending you the seers to tell you what to do. Don't do that. Stop doing this. Come back to what I said over here. Verse number 15, they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies, which he testified against them, and they followed vanities. Look at that, verse number 15. I don't know why my brethren think that Israel had some kind of justification with laws, if you will, because according to God, they were all messed up, all right? I'm reading it right there with you, and look at that. And went after the heathen that were round about them, and concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. Now look at 16. They left all the commandments of the Lord their God. There you have it. Not some, brothers. Oh, they kept a little bit. No, you know what the Lord said there? They left all. You can't argue against God. And made them molten images, two calves, made a grove, worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served Baal. They caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire and use divination, enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. What about Judah? Look at verse 19. Also Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. The Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David. They made Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, king. Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Lord and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants, the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. So there you have it, a quick summary of what happened when they did not fear the Lord. Are you with me? And so go back now to verse number 25. So it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore, the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. How about that? Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't send lions to you as a Christian friend just because you forget to fear him, amen, every time you mess up on the Lord? And so, guys, we can keep going on. Let me just focus now a little bit before we close on this, on the last of this chapter. The Bible says here, when they're in the land there now, they're under captivity. It says here in verse number 30, the men of Babylon made Sukkoth-Benoth, and the men of Kuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashima, and so on and so forth. So they feared the Lord, and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, sacrifice for them in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord and served their own gods, after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes, or after their ordinances, or after the law and commandment which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, who he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, ye shall not fear other gods, nor buy yourselves them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power, a stretched out arm, him shall you fear. Him shall you worship. To him shall you do sacrifice. The statutes, the ordinances, the law, the commandment which he wrote for you, ye shall observe to do forevermore. Ye shall not fear other gods. The covenant that I made with you, ye shall not forget, neither shall you fear other gods. How many times, church, are you seeing this? Don't fear them, fear me. Don't fear them, fear me. Why? I delivered you. I saved you. I redeemed you. I took you from the house of bondage. I brought you into this land. I gave you manna. I blessed you. That's why I want you to fear me. Those other gods are not real. What the people are doing is vain. It doesn't profit. I'm God. But look at now. Verse number 39. But the Lord your God, you shall fear, he shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. Howbeit, they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner. So these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images, both their children's children, as are their fathers, so do they unto this day. So what I want to leave you with, what's going to help you to keep yourself faithful when your wife doesn't want to be anymore, when your husband doesn't want to be anymore, when your parents don't want to be anymore, when your children doesn't want to be anymore? When your pastor might not be anymore, when your pastor's wife might not be anymore, when that church member who used to come here doesn't come here anymore, what's going to keep you walking in the fear of God? As you could see, forefathers ain't going to help. Children's children ain't going to help because each generation was different. The Lord kept trying to tell them, generation after generation, come back to me, come back to me. And what does he say? They didn't want to listen. They didn't want to listen. What's going to help you? You have to remind yourself of how good he's been to you. You have to remind yourself of how merciful he's been to you. You have to remind yourself of why he's worthy of your obedience and your allegiance, because the moment that you begin to turn your heart from that, of the goodness of God, that's when the enemy entertains you with temptation, sin, your heart begins to puff up. I don't need God. I got my own money. I don't need my church. I don't need my pastor. I don't need my husband. I can do this on my own. And before you know it, I can be like them. Who? Those people who don't know God. The heathen. I can go back to that music. I can go back to like that. I can go back to listening to those things. I can go back to the gods. There was prophet over here. You begin to deceive yourself. What I want to tell you, it grieves God when people don't fear him. Not because he wants them to be terrified of his power, like he can take you out. Not for that. It grieves God when his people forget how good he's been to them. That's what grieves God. God can demonstrate all this majestic power. He told them, look what we just read. I sent you the prophets. I reminded you of what I did a long time ago for your fathers. But y'all didn't listen to me. And look at what's going on here. It grieves God when his people don't remember how good he's been. And church, for application as we close tonight, it grieves the Spirit of God when you forget how good the Lord's been to you. And the only one who can help you to remind yourself of that is you. I can do my best as the pastor teacher role to keep preaching the Bible, teaching the Bible, trying to invite you to evangelize and do all that the Christian life. I can help you to do that. But when you go back home tonight and it's nobody but you and God in that heart of yours, and yeah, you might be laying down with your spouse, but remember, in here, no one knows but you. It's just in that little private area between you and the Lord, you have to remind yourself of why you're still doing this for God. Because if you don't, if you don't motivate yourself, if you don't remind yourself of why you're doing this, before you know it, you might be like these Israelites. And over time, you're going to forget. And you're not going to teach your children. And before you know it, the future and all that fellowship and all the blessings, the good, it's not going to profit you. Because you told God today, I don't fear you. I don't think I need you anymore. It's a sad thing. It's a sad thing that happens to all of us. We got so many more notes, but it's going to take us time. Let me just, there's one that I wanted to show you before we close. I just wanted to see if you can, I wanted you guys to see this real quick about desire, and then we'll close in prayer. Let's close with our last verse. Do me a favor, church, with me. Oh man, there was a good verse about desire. If I can quickly find it in my notes. Desire. All right, I'll try to find it for you next time, but just do me a favor. Let's go to... Man, there's so many, I can't find it. Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs... Or was it Psalms here? About don't worry about those people. Where is it at here? All right. Well, I can't find it, church, but I'll find it for you next week. I just wanted to show you this really cool verse about desire, of this desiring the fear of the Lord and how that was going to go together. Okay. Well, since I can't find it, we're going to go ahead and close in prayer. I'm just trying my best to quickly peruse. If I can just, it's almost here. But I can't find it. Okay, that's fine. We'll pick up, Lord willing, next. Oh, here it is. Proverbs 23. There you go. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 23, and then we'll close in prayer. Proverbs chapter 23. And then we will close in prayer. Proverbs chapter 23, let's read together on our last verse. Proverbs 23, verse number 17. The Bible says here, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. What's going to help you is when you can try your best to resist wanting to be like the world. And that's exactly what we read in 2 Kings 17 about the Israelites wanting to be like the heathen. And because they wanted to be like them, who do they fear? They fear the other gods. So what's going to help you to continue to stay in the fear of the Lord is not envying the unbeliever, not envying the world, not desiring what they have, because you have something far better that they don't have. But that's why you have to keep yourself in the fear of God. And like we read earlier in 1 Peter, you have to see that you love the brethren with a pure heart. Our responsibility to keep doing that. Amen. So hope that was a blessing to you for our part three. We talked about the fear of God, and we're going to learn that by reading, by hearing. And the fear of God is going to be the heart motivation of why we do what the Word of God tells us to do. So before we get to the doing, now we see the heart motivation. It's because we need to fear Him. And here's why, for our good. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the saints that came to church this evening. I pray that tonight's Bible study was a blessing to them, Lord. I know it was for me. I know, Lord, that we need the Word of God. We need to meditate on it. We need to constantly remind ourselves of how good you've been to us and why we need to fear you, why we need to come to church, why we need to be holy and modest, and why we need to be loving one another, forgiving one another, why we need to be evangelizing and soul winning and giving of our finances, why we need to do all these things, because we need to fear you, not because of your almighty power, your majestic glory of creating the heavens and the earth and your ability to judge, but because of your goodness towards us, that while we were yet sinners, you would send your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. While we were unlovable, we were loved. While no one sought us, we were sought. While no one thought about us, you thought about us, and you desired a relationship with us. Today, God, I know that all of us can safely say that our past is nothing compared to our present. Our past is nothing compared to our future. What we used to trust is nothing compared to the truth. What we used to depend upon is nothing compared to who we depend upon now. And God, I thank you that all of these are young Christians tonight, because they have a whole life ahead of them, if you allow it, for them to be a light, be an example to the ungodly, and you can help bless the next generation of people on this earth through their testimony. So Lord, help us to be faithful to the Word of God so we can see the future, that we can help impact the lost with the fear of God because of our love for you, Lord, for you're worthy of it. So Father, thank you for the Word of God. Pray that we can meditate upon it as we go back home and in the secret part of our heart, Lord, where no one is looking, no one's listening, that you are, that we would sincerely, as the scripture says, that we would sincerely seek you with our whole heart, to fear you, to love you, to do what you said. So Father, thank you for these saints. Help them to get back home safely, Lord. Sure be a blessing to see them tomorrow and in the future. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, church. I love you dearly. May the Lord bless you. Please have a safe rest of your evening. Amen.